Nehemiah is a wonderful book. I love that song that they wrote about this, that I'm building up the wall and I won't come down. Nehemiah is just a wonderful story, but there was such opposition to the work of God. Right here in chapter 6, it's already told about, we've already made it to the point at this to this point in the book where they've told about Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and all of these enemies against the work of God. Verse number 5 we'll take for our scripture reading and read down to verse 14. Verse 15. Nehemiah chapter number 6 and verse 5. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me, in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen that Geshemu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us make counsel. Let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Verse 9. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. I want to read that phrase again. Right in the middle of Nehemiah's writings here, he stops and says a short prayer. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Strengthen my hands. Verse 10. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delilah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple. They will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And, lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, that the rest and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Verse 15, so the wall was finished. Praise God. So the wall was finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So the wall was finished. Oh God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands, God. That's what I want to preach tonight, is strengthen my hands. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you know every need that is in this place tonight. You know every work, every call of God upon every heart, upon every individual. You know your call and your purpose and your plan. You know the forces of evil that is against the work of God. You know the darkness, God, that is against the work of God in each one of our lives as individuals. Not only in our families and church and community and nation, but in us as individuals. I pray, O God, that each one of us would cry out like Nehemiah, strengthen my hands. Have your way tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Nehemiah is building the wall. He's building the wall that is broken down in Jerusalem. God needs some wall builders. Amen. God needs some men and women that will put their shoulder to the wheel and work for God. And do a work for God in this hour. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah, and it names different ones, how they would repair and how they would work and how they would build and how that they would work and they would carry a sword in one hand, amen, and a hammer in the other hand. They'd carry one of them would have a trumpet in his hand, the other one have a trumpet, said, y'all just keep on working. Said, you hear the trumpet over here, everybody throw your hammer and your tools down, run over here, and let's go to fighting. That means war's going on. I'm talking about that work day and night. Nehemiah, amen, would ride his horse out at night, and amen, try his best to guard that place because the enemy did not want to see that wall finished. Now, I want you to know that the devil is against God's work in your life. The devil wants you to get halfway. He don't care how far you get, just as long as you don't finish. He don't care how far you get down the road, just as long as you don't finish. Amen. But the song said, I made up my mind that this race that I have begun, I'm going to finish. If I can get those words right, said, I started one day to follow Jesus. Amen. Not caring for worldly fame. Amen, said, though rough the road, though steep the curve, still I'm a-going right on. Has anybody, amen, had some rough road in your life? Has anybody had some steep curves in your life? Has anybody, amen, but said, I started out and I'm going to finish this race that I have begun. And that's what Nehemiah had in his heart, that God had given him favor with the king. He was the cupbearer for the king down there in that foreign land. And somebody came and said, Nehemiah, did you know that the walls of Jerusalem are broken down? Did you know that the temple lays in ruins? Did you know? And Nehemiah grieved his heart. He went in to carry that cup. And you know, Nehemiah was a happy man. I guess the best way to, probably relate this is that he always had a smile on his face. Have you ever seen anybody? Man, they always have a smile on their face. I mean, I know people, you know, and I wish so much that I could have that character. But I mean, if they had an enemy, you'd think, man, what in the world's wrong with that person? You know, to be an enemy of just such a sweet personality. And well, that's just the way I picture Nehemiah. But he come in this day, and he had such a grieving heart. The king said, hey, what's wrong with you? He put that cup up there. He said, what's wrong? He said, you're always happy. He said, this is sorrow of the heart. Nehemiah was afraid. You're not supposed to go into the king's presence sad. Ain't that something? They won't even go into the king's presence sad. We'll come in the house of God mad, puffed up like a bulldog or a bullfrog or something. Amen. They wouldn't even supposed to go into those king's presence. Amen. We'll come in the house of God thinking about work tomorrow, thinking about everything else. But anyways, hey, Lord, help me preach tonight. Praise God. I'm talking about strengthen my hands. And God gave him favor in the king's and in the king's eyes, and he went over there and started to build that wall. Right as soon as he started building that wall, amen, all of this evil force of hell that wanted Jerusalem to stay broken down. Let me just say this right here before I get started. Nehemiah was brokenhearted because of the wall being broken down. Amen. And the temple lay in ruins. It always makes me wonder, amen, about how, amen, that it doesn't grieve our heart. Amen. When we look at our nation and we look at people, amen, that used to serve God and used to live for God, we can just buddy up with them. We can just carry on. We can shoot the breeze. Y'all know what shoot the breeze is? Amen. But you know, it ought to grieve our heart when we see the walls of Jerusalem broken down in people's lives. Y'all don't look like y'all agreed with that too much right there. I might have hit a stump right there. You know, sometimes you hit a stump, you just keep right on going. Other times, man, when you're trying to plant a garden, you're going to dig that stump out. I'm trying to decide on if I want to just keep going or dig that stump out. But, you know, we'll just act like nothing. People living in sin. People, you know, going the wrong way. And, man, it's just fine. Just, you know, whatever. You know, that's just a decision they make. God have mercy on them. Amen. God help us in this day and hour. Amen. To care about the walls in people's lives, the walls of Jerusalem. To care about the temple. Amen. The temple. Hallelujah. The Lord has a plan for this service. The Lord has a plan for every life. The Lord has a plan for every individual. Amen. And there's always, amen, a fighting force against that wall of Jerusalem in our life. And here it was. Amen. This wall of Jerusalem was going up. It was getting built up. That's making progress. And Sanballat sent a letter down there with his servant and said, come on down, let's talk. Said, let's talk about this. Said, you know, you're going to be a king and you're going to rebel. And said, we're going to go tell them and all this. Nehemiah said, I never said such things. Said, you made those up in your own heart. He said, they said these things to weaken our hands. Hallelujah. The hands of man, that God gives us hands. Man does so many things with his hands. Can you imagine the handicap, amen, of not having no hands? The work that is done with our hands. And here he says, God, strengthen my hands. Now I know tonight that the Lord would like to speak to our hearts. I'd like for us to get our minds together. I'm going to preach about three things. Strengthen my hands to fold in prayer. Amen. You know, we may think, praise God, that it's easy to fold our hands in prayer. You might think that wouldn't be the easiest things compared to, you know, like doing some artwork or building some fancy cabinet or something. But you'd be surprised how hard it is to fold them hands like that in prayer. Try to fold them like that. Everybody fold your hands like that in prayer. I'm preaching not on strength of my hands, and I'm going to preach that the Lord would strengthen our hands to fold them in prayer. And the next thing I want to preach about, strengthen our hands to reach out and have compassion. Amen. Compassion for others. I'm going to pray, God, would you strengthen our hands? Amen. To have compassion. Strengthen my hands. And then the last thing I want to preach, if I get this far, if the Lord will help me, it looks like we got plenty of time and plenty of daylight, is the fact of war. The Bible said his hand clave to the sword. Now I want to preach tonight, strengthen my hands to war, amen, and fight, amen, in this battle. Would you pray for me right now one more time? We can't pray enough. Amen. Just wave your hand toward heaven. Ask the Lord to touch him. Say, Lord, touch the preacher tonight. Lord, bless him and anoint him to preach tonight, God. Help him, God. Anoint him to preach, God. Touch our hearts. Touch your word, Lord, in our hearts. Let it find root in our hearts. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. Can we all say that right here, right now? Oh, God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands, oh God. Strengthen my hands to pray. Strengthen my hands to reach out. Strengthen my hands to war. Strengthen my hands to pray. I know I preached last Sunday night about prayer, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but here we are again. I'm going to just briefly talk about praying for a little while. Strengthen my hands to fold in prayer. The power of prayer, the songs that's been written about prayer. Amen. The books that's been written about prayer. Oh, the power of prayer. Amen. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God will anoint a person to pray. I believe God will anoint a person to be a prayer warrior. Amen. To pray and see God move. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 11 that as he was praying in a certain place, Ain't that something? Hey man, they watched Jesus pray. Jesus prayed so much. So many times in the Gospels you'll find, amen, that he would go out to the Mount of Olives and spend the night in prayer. You'll find, amen, so many times where he would leave them and pray late into the night. You'll find that he prayed. He would rise a great while before day and go out and pray. Amen. I heard a preacher say about another preacher, amen, when he was fighting the devil and fighting and talking about different things in his life. He said he had a friend that was a praying man. And he said that my friend called me and said, I went into the church to pray for you last night before the sun ever went down. And he said, I prayed. And he said, when I walked out of that church, amen, he said, the sun was already up. Amen. He had prayed all night long. Hallelujah. And he said, the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. Y'all remember Sister Gabbard came by here and they preached for us? You know, she was sick. I think it was 10 or 12 years. They don't believe in going to doctors. I say believe. I don't know that they would necessarily preach against or whatever, but it's a common thing among them. They don't go to the doctor. They just trust God. They don't take medicine at all. Well, she had. They had a nurse in the church. Looked like all appearance had a massive heart attack. Couldn't hardly breathe. This was probably maybe 20 years ago or more. And she couldn't, you know, just a lot of things going on. I don't know all the detail, but the best they could tell, she had had a heart attack. I think she was sick for 10, 12 years, long time. They was preaching up at House of Prayer not long ago. We went up there, Brother Heath's church, and she said, I want to tell y'all about the time that the Lord healed me. She said that our church had went on a 24-hour prayer. She said they prayed around the clock for 24 hours for my healing. She said I had got so bad, it looked like I was going to die. She said when 24 hours got up, you think about this church. You think about the love that they had for this woman. She said when 24 hours got up, they prayed 24 hours solid. There was groups praying all the time for 24 hours for her healing. She said when 24 hours was up, somebody said, we ought to pray another 24 hours. She said that church prayed a solid 48 hours. And she said right at the end of that 48 hours, some of them gathered around. They began to pray for her and pray that God would touch her. She said they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And she said nothing happened. She said they was fixing to quit. We was fixing to quit praying. And she said something real quiet. I believe said, she said, I said, just pray one more time. She said they had just prayed for 48 hours for my healing. They had just came and laid hands on me and prayed so hard that God would heal me and nothing happened. And she said, I just quietly said, would y'all just pray one more time? And she said they started praying. And she said something come down and touched my body. I jumped up and shouted around and healed. Hallelujah, by the power of God. Amen. I've heard about her healing. Amen. And God has anointed her husband to, amen, to use him to heal, and God's touched him. Amen. But you know why that lady was healed, not in the grave? Because somebody prayed. You're talking about praying for 48 hours. Now, it does us good to pray for 48 minutes. Amen. And some people can't even pray for 48 seconds. Amen. But God help us. Amen. 48 hours round the clock. Praying and seeking God. Amen. And God touching. Amen. You talking about praying people. I've known praying people. I've known people when they got it, you got in their presence, you could feel the presence of God. Amen. I've got a preacher friend. He's still alive today. He drove by here. He was going to come by and he was on his way. He was going to go get something to eat. And they was having, I think y'all was having a wedding shower or something. He pulled up at the church and Sister Bethany had went on and he come by and he was going to pick me up. He was going to go get something to eat or meet Sister Bethany, and she wasn't there. He had been driving for a long time. Now I'm telling you the truth right here. Amen. I got in that car, Brother Mike. He called me, said, I'm pulling up. He was in a hurry. When I got in that car with that praying man, I felt the presence of God. He never said one thing. He didn't have no music playing. He didn't say, hey, you know this, that, or the other. No. Amen. How you doing? Just common greeting. I got in, sat in that car, and I felt the presence of God. God. I looked over and I said, where you been jiving from? I think you drove up from Kansas or something. Amen. But he said, I said, you been praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, well, you know, I just walk, drive down the road and talk to the Lord. Amen. I pray that the Lord would strengthen our hands to pray. I pray that the Lord would strengthen our hands to fold in prayer. Jesus was praying here. Jesus was seeking God. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 11, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Hallelujah. I want to ask you something. If somebody heard you praying, when you stop praying, would they say, teach us to pray? Amen. Is our prayers powerful enough that would influence others to pray? Is our prayers powerful enough, amen, that others would want to pray like us? They said that praying Hyde. His name was John Hyde. He was very instrumental missionary to India. Lord, help me preach tonight. I'd like to preach to you tonight. My God, I feel like I'm boring y'all talking about prayer. I feel like you're just bored to death talking about prayer tonight. Amen. It's not a boring subject to me. Amen. And it's not a boring subject to you, I don't believe. Amen. The praying Hyde. I think it was G. Campbell Morgan. They said praying Hyde or John Hyde's in town. Amen. He got a hold of him and said, I'd like to pray with you. Said, let's meet tomorrow at noon. Amen. And have some prayer. He said, they went in the room. And he said, this old missionary praying man, amen, walked in. Amen. Walked in the room and never said a word. He said he walked in. He said, then he waited and he went around and got the door and looked. And he said, he locked the door. He said, man, we're in the church. Nobody's going to bother us. There ain't a soul here. Amen. But he locked that door when he went in that little room. He was going to make sure nobody else was going to come in there. He said, we knelt down. Amen. He said, he never said a word. He said, I thought he was going to pray for me. He said, just silence. I look over at him. He said, he was just in such agony. Amen. Just silence. He said, it was just a few minutes. He said, I felt something warm in the room. He said, I knew we was in the presence of God, with a man that knew how to pray. Amen. There it's been written, it's recorded. You can look it up, you can find the book. It's called Praying Hyde. Amen. That man prayed as a missionary in India. Amen. He prayed that God would help him win one soul every day, and God gave him one soul every day. When the end of that year was up, he said, Lord, I want two souls. Amen. Every day, God gave him two souls every day. When the end of that year was up, he said, Lord, I want three souls. Amen. He would pray. They said that he would go. They'd go and hear him praying. He said he'd be confessing sins of other people. He'd say, Lord, forgive me for my lust. They thought, man, he ain't lustful. He'd be confessing sins for other people. Amen. Trying to stand in the gap. Can somebody help me? Amen. But he said when he began to pray in that room, he said after about 5-10 minutes, amen, I was weeping to the presence of God in the room. Amen. And he said, I finally heard him say, oh, God. Amen. He said, then he went quiet again for another 10 minutes. And he said, I know when he was assured, amen, that God was in the room. I'm talking about folding our hands in prayer. Lord, strengthen our hands in prayer. He said he began to pray and utter such a supplication and intercession that I had never heard. And he said, God turned the tide in revival and God moved. I pray that 2016 somebody would rise up to pray. I pray in 2016 that somebody in the church of the living God, and somebody in the church of Jesus Christ would say, Lord, strengthen my hands to pray. We've got everything we're involved in. We've got everything else we do. We do this. We're communicating with everybody. We've got every kind of app. We've got every kind of, you know, connection, but we ain't connected to heaven. Amen. We got so many friends. Amen. But we don't have a connection to heaven. We know every bit of news that goes on. I mean, you're talking about they have a car wreck on Stone Road. And we know about it because we're so up to date with technology and communication in the news app. Amen. But can we pray down heaven? Amen. Until God stirs the hearts of men. I pray, oh God, strengthen our hands to pray. I say, oh God, strengthen our hands to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strengthen our hands. The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. A man that had power with God to the point that the heaven held back the rain for 3.5 years. You're talking about a praying man. You're talking about a man that could touch God. You're talking about somebody that was close to God. Hey, young people, God will do it for you too. Hey, brother and sister, God will give you that heart too. Amen, that God will help you. I pray, Lord, light a fire on this altar. Amen, and stir our hearts and burn our hearts up. Lord, help us to pray. Lord, help us to linger in prayer. Lord, help us to have all-night prayer meetings. Lord, help us to have well-attended prayer meetings. Lord, help us to pray. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to call on your name. Lord, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It pays to pray. It pays to seek God. It pays to reach heaven. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're going to get close to God, you might not like what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to say it because I believe it. If you're going to get close to God, you'll have to get away from everybody else. You'll have to break loose and get alone with God. Amen. You can't get alone with God and constantly be texting right there. God could care less about all that, you know, junk that we're carrying on most of the time. He wants our undivided attention in prayer. Hallelujah. You may have to turn the phone off. You don't get alone with God. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, there are days I like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell him of my troubles all alone. You know that song, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. Everybody heard that song? Ain't No Grave. It was written by an old pastor preacher up in Kentucky. Amen. There was a sister that got cancer in his church. This would have been, I guess, probably 60s or 70s there. And cancer, you know, was you know, different back then or whatever, even though it's bad now. You know, I'm just saying, it just grieved him when she got cancer. He prayed and prayed for her. Seemed like God wasn't doing nothing. He told his deacons in his church, he said, I'm going up on the mountain. He said, I'm going to go up there. And he said, when God tells you to come get me, he said, when God deals with you to come get me, said, you come get me. He went, drank the water on the mountain. I don't know if he ate. I believe he fasted. Was up there weeks. One night, the old brother from the church felt the Lord said, go get Brother Claude. He thought, my, it's late at night. In the middle of the night, I'd never find him on that mountain. I'll just wait till the morning and go get him. He went early in the morning, got there about daylight. When he come around the corner there on the old dirt road, said the pastor was sitting on the side there. And he said he got in the truck and said, why didn't you come get me last night? He come down the mountain. He went to that lady's house and he said, sister, he said, I've been on the mountain with God. He said, I saw the lightning run down the mountain and God come down. He said, the fire run down. He said, I saw the snakes crawl all around. He said, but they couldn't harm me. He said, but I'll tell you right now, God's going to heal you of this cancer. He said, I went to the doors of death for you and God's going to heal you of this cancer. Laid his hand on her and God healed her of cancer. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about a story in the Bible. I'm talking about a man that lived just a few years ago and wrote a song, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. Hallelujah. I'm talking about men of God, amen, that have preached and prayed. Amen. We've got to the day and hour where we don't fold our hands in prayer near as much as we should. Elijah prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain 3.5 years. Earnest praying brings results. results. Earnest seeking God brings results. I'm preaching tonight on strength in my hands. Strength in my hands to reach. Strength in my hands to have compassion. A heart of compassion. Amen. Let's move off of prayer. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to help us to pray. And the Lord wants to strengthen our hands to fold them in prayer. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants to strengthen our hands to reach. Amen. And to help others. Amen. To see God move in other people's lives. Ain't it something how we get so tunnel vision? All we can seem to think about is our own. All we can seem to think about is how this and that. Amen. But God wants us to help and reach. Amen. God wants us to reach others and help others. God wants us to reach out and have compassion on a lost and dying world. The Bible says that God said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. You try to hold your hands out. You can't do it. They get heavy. Now I'm telling you, when you try to reach out and help people, you know, and get, you know, their hands get heavy. They get wore down. They get, you know, and God in His great mercy never gets tired reaching for people. He never gets tired saying, come. The Bible says He delights in mercy. God loves mercy. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our worst enemy. Amen. The worst person on this earth, according to our standard. Amen. Or whoever we could think about, the most evil person in the world. Amen. Come to God. Amen. Repent of their sin and fall down. Amen. In true repentance and confession of sin. God is merciful and will forgive. We'll have mercy. Amen. He stretches out His hands all day long. Amen. To a disobedient and a gainsaying people. Amen. God has to judge sin. But many times when God judges sin, man or woman will turn back to God. Can I get a witness tonight? We get in trouble, we'll turn back to God. And God will have mercy. He'll pull that hand of judgment back. And then mankind, which is in a place that constantly strays from God, will turn back and go back into sin, and God will put the judgment down. Man will turn back to God. God in His mercy, amen, will have mercy and compassion one more time. Over and over, He molds me and makes me. Over and over, the heart of compassion, the compassionate God, the compassionate Lord, amen, our compassionate Savior reaches. Amen. And reaches and reaches and reaches and has mercy on those that will. And I pray that God, amen, will help us to get that same heart of compassion that will reach to others that are lost, that will reach to others that are in need, that will reach to others that have such needs in their life. Amen. You know, Paul wasn't always Paul. He used to be Saul, who persecuted the church. Amen. He used to be. Now I want to tell y'all something. Just because I'm sweating, y'all don't have to sit there and freeze. But, turn that air off. Paul killed people in the church and all of that. And the Lord saved him. But when the Lord saved him, none of the church didn't want nothing to do with him. They was afraid of him. They was afraid of what he would do. And the Bible says that he was saved. He was down there in Damascus, I believe it was. And he was in that house of Ananias, and he went to the synagogue daily and convinced the people that Jesus was the Christ. Kept on and on. You know, there was a man named Barnabas, and Barnabas traveled with Paul on two of his missionary journeys. If not, I know it was at least one, maybe two. But Barnabas, amen, and John Mark had left. Paul and Barnabas was, y'all know the story, don't you? Maybe you don't, but Paul and Barnabas, and they had this young man, John Mark. Well, they got in the heat of the battle when things wasn't going good. John Mark left them. Well, sometime later, they're back at Jerusalem, and John Mark said, I want to go with y'all again. Paul said, no, said, you're not going to go with us. And it became such a contentious thing between Paul and Barnabas that they split ways, and Barnabas and John Mark and maybe another one went this way, and Paul and Silas left and went. And I'm not saying God wasn't in that. Amen. Maybe he was, because right after that is when Paul found Timothy. And, I want to say this right here. I will have to admit this right here. Barnabas was a man of compassion. Barnabas had a sweet spirit who saw the best in everybody. Now, I want you to know there's preachers in my life that gave me a chance. There's preachers in my life when I was a young man, they gave me a chance. They put me behind their pulpit and they preached me. They preached me for revivals when I was just a single boy. They gave me a chance. They tried, amen, to they didn't have to do that. And, Barnabas was the same one that was responsible for bringing Paul to the disciples at Jerusalem. He said, hey, this guy's good. I'll vouch for him. He's a good guy. He's real. He's genuine. When everybody was afraid of him, he wouldn't, and rightfully so. And so it wasn't so much that Barnabas, Brother Wayne, just cared so much about John Mark, because the best I can tell, it was his nephew. John Mark was Barnabas' sister's son. I don't think it was just so much that it was Uncle Bar looking out for him. I really believe that you can look at Barnabas and he had a heart that reached, a heart of compassion. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, whether we're Sunday school teachers, pastors, preachers, whatever we are, we have got to get back to that heart of compassion. And sometimes it takes God to strengthen our hands. It takes God to strengthen our hands to a place where we want to help an individual, where we want to help a person. Amen. You know, the song said, I've been lied on, I've been cheated, been talked about, been mistreated. I'm telling you, if you wanted me to tell you a sad story, I could probably tell you a sad story tonight about people that have done me wrong, people that I have helped and that have done wrong, people that I have given to and have abused it and went the wrong way. Amen. Maybe back to addictions or whatever. And I'm telling you, all of those things. Amen. Sometimes you get tired of pulling that knife out of your back. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to reach them. Sometimes you got to go over to your brother and say, hey, get that knife out of my back, you know. But I don't ever want to get to the place where I don't reach. And sometimes we have to, as individuals, whether it's family members, a spouse, or whoever it is, people in the church that have done us wrong, we have to say, God, strengthen my hands so I can reach out, so I can help somebody, so I can be like Barnabas, so I could be like God. Oh, amen. The person that doesn't give mercy is a easy forgetter. Did y'all pick that up? The person that doesn't show mercy is an easy forgetter. That individual forgot about how they needed mercy. There's not a woman, boy, or girl. There's not an individual. There's not a Christian. There's not a saint of God that didn't need the mercy of God in their life at one time or another. I think about where I would be if somebody hadn't given me a chance. If preachers hadn't called and say, hey, I'd like for that boy to come preach for me. Amen. I preached revivals when they had to drop me off. Amen, and pick me back up because I didn't even have a vehicle and didn't even have driver's license. You're talking about giving a little old boy a chance, and I was a little old boy, by the way, and still am. No. I'm talking about going and preaching. Amen, the pastor just loved me. Give me an offering. Hey, man, I thought I was a king. Man, I thought I was something else. Hey, man, God, Amen. Helping me. God showing me mercy. Hallelujah. God raising me up. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. It's time for us to have our hands strengthened one more time. Amen. To help someone. Hallelujah. It's all for the glory of God. It's for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There is no reward on this earth. Amen, brother, sister, Sunday school teacher. Amen. We might give you a plaque or certificate. Amen. But really, there is no reward on this earth. Amen. You carry that ark. Amen. That shoulder gets sore. That shoulder gets tired. Amen. Those priests would carry the presence of God. They carried the ark. Amen. That shoulder would get tired. That ark would be on stays or staves, just like a big old long thing like this right here. Amen. And a big old heavy ark. Amen. Four of those priests would carry that ark. Amen. As they're walking through that wilderness, as they're walking, it would get tired. But you know what was above the ark? The cloud. You know what was going in front of the people? The ark of God. Amen. They're carrying that ark right out in the front. And there was those Levites carrying that ark. Amen. That old shoulder get tired. Amen. They'll bump up and down on the shoulder. Amen. But if you'll just say, God, strengthen my hands. Amen. So I could do another job for you. Amen. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, shame that we'll lay down our life one day and we've never done nothing for God. We've never benefited, amen, the kingdom of God. We've only benefited ourselves. Amen. We've excuse me. A heart and hands. Lord, strengthen my hands to reach out. Strengthen my hands to reach out. No wonder they sang the song and wrote the song, said, if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it'd be worth every struggle. It'd be worth every trial. Lifetime of heartache is still worth it all if we rescue just one more soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know I'm weird. I know I'm strange. Amen, but hallelujah. Sister Honey's here tonight. And I know, amen, this is close to her heart in obvious ways. But I'm going to tell you something that makes me happy. Is when I can stand by that casket and I got confidence that they made it to heaven. Now it does me joy when they walk in on Sunday morning. It makes my heart swell up when they show up Sunday night. And I'm so happy to see you here on Wednesday. And I love it when you're living for God. And I'm going to tell you something. We ain't made it yet. And I've had people that I rub shoulders with that are serving the devil right now. They're living for the devil right now. And if God come back, amen, hallelujah. If the Lord come back, they wouldn't go to heaven. They'd go straight to hell. They'd go to hell like a bullet and sizzle like a sausage. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you stood, I stood right here in this church, amen, with confidence, amen, look down, Brother Wayne, hallelujah, say, oh God, amen, was there something I did, amen, that helped him on to glory, amen, that's why we're here, hallelujah. We're not here like somebody said the other day to count nickels or noses. Come on now. I said we're not here to count nickels or noses. We're here to make it to heaven. We're here to make it to God's good glory. Amen. We're here to see somebody, amen, make it on the glory. Now I want to tell you something. Amen. If I can make it to those streets of gold, amen, and somebody say, amen, hallelujah. Oh, I made it because of the message you preached. I made it because of a class you taught. I made it because of a trip you took to a youth camp. I made it because of a youth rally you went to. I made it because of a revival service you preached. My God, that's what'll be worth it. Hallelujah. I said, that's what'll be worth it. I don't want my girl to learn to play the piano. Amen. To stand at the Grand Ole Opry. Amen. Or join Bill Gaither's group. Amen. That's not why I want her to play the piano. But I want her to play the piano. Amen. So somebody can come into church, Sister Monica. Amen. And see her play. And feel the presence of God. Amen. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's why I say, Lord, strengthen my hands. Baby, sit your hands out there. And say, Lord, strengthen my hands. Teach me how to play the piano, even so I can please God, and maybe a soul
will come to the Lord. Maybe I can pray in a homeless mission and somebody, amen, feel the presence of God. Maybe God can strengthen my hands to reach out.
Hallelujah. I think about standing there at that bedside of Russell. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lauren might remember Russell. Russell Dixon, if she saw him. Amen. He's gone now. Hallelujah. But you know what? He wasn't living right. Come on now. The Bible says fornicators will not go to heaven. And I knew he wasn't living right, and he had that stroke. And I tried my best to get in there and talk to him. But his family was around him all the time. I'd talk to him, you know, his ear and stuff. But I couldn't really, you know, Russell, you got to get right with God. Sister Bobby, you get in times where you don't care what people think about you. You have a job to do and a soul to win for God. I remember praying, Lord, help me get in there. They was there around the clock because, you know, they wasn't feeding him. Y'all know the story. He had that stroke. They made the choice not to feed him. So I finally got in there. Nobody was there. I knew that time was clicking. I knew that time, oh God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands, Lord. Strengthen my hands, God. Can somebody say, strengthen my hands, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. The war has made my hands weak. The enemy has weakened my hands. I got in there. Nobody's in there. Y'all probably heard the story. Hey, amen. But Lord, I got in there. Nobody's in there. I said, Russell got right down at him. I said, Russell, you know you can't go to heaven sinning. Got to make it right with God. I said, you're going to die, Russell. They're not feeding you. They hadn't told him they wasn't feeding him. Hey, amen, Russell. They're not feeding you. I hated to be the bearer of bad news. Hey, amen. But I'll never forget the presence of God that came in that room as he turned his face to the wall and tears ran out the good eye, and I think tears ran out the bad eye too. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know he prayed through that day, and they called me. It wasn't 3 hours after I left that room. He crossed all over glorious world. And I'm here to tell you, I believe in my heart, Brother Wayne, that one day, amen, I'll meet him again on glory shore. Hallelujah. I said, I'll meet him again on glory shore. Amen. I think about others that's crossed on over to glory. Amen. I'd love to see you here tonight. I'd love to see you shout. I'd love to see you pray. I'd love to see you sing a special. I'd love to see you give it all to God and get called to preach and live for God. But really, really what it's all about is that we make it to heaven, that we make it to glory. Amen, Brother Wayne. Amen. Somebody over there in glory is going to say, because you preached in Mexico. Amen. Because you handed out that tract. Amen. Because you did what you did. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's worth it. And that's why I pray, Lord, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. Hallelujah. Y'all probably heard the story. Amen. On 9/11, I've told it. Hallelujah. 9/11, when the plane or whatever it is, I'm not here to fuss about that. Amen. When all that terror attack happened in the Pentagon, that man said, I was working in a cubicle. In a big open office space and cubicles everywhere, hundreds of people in this room. And he said, when that thing hit and when that terror attack hit the Pentagon, he said, I hit the floor. Things fell on me. Sprinklers went off. Smoke filled the room. He said, all that. He said, I've been in the military, but he had been working there in the Pentagon for years. He said, but all that old military training kicked in. He said, I found a wall. I climbed over people. He said, I went through rubble. He said, but I found a wall. I followed that wall until I got to the door. He said, I was battered and bruised, but I was at the door. He said, before I walked out, I began to scream, I am at the door. Follow me. I am at the door. Follow me. Come to my voice. I'm at the door. He stayed for some minutes, began to scream, I'm at the door. Follow me. I'm at the door. Oh, y'all ain't getting this tonight. Amen. You know what we're doing? We're in the midst of
trouble. We're in the midst of turmoil. We're in the midst of terror attack. We're in the midst of demonic forces. Amen. But we're at the door. We might not can see. We might have a head bang. We might have a broken arm or broken leg. Amen. But we're screaming. We're at the door. Follow us. Jesus is the door. If you want to be saved, come to our voice. Come to this message. Amen. Seek God. Amen. I pray, Lord, strengthen my hands. Amen. The crowd came and followed him out, as many as could. Amen. Sometime later, the story says he is walking his dog in a park. Amen. In Washington, D.C. Amen. And he hollered out at the dog, and a woman jumped up from a bench and said, "Sir, was you in the Pentagon on 9/11? He said, "Yes, I was." She said, "I recognize that voice. I've never saw your face, but I'll never forget that voice. If it wasn't for your voice, I wouldn't be saved. I would have died in that room." Amen. But I followed you out that day, and I just want to say thank you. Let me tell you something. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep handing out tracts. Keep praying. Amen. Because somebody is going to hear that voice. Somebody. They may not know your face. They may never see your face. Amen. But if you lay a tract in a public restroom, it might save a soul from hell.
Strengthen my hand for the ministry that God has called me to do.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Strengthen my hands. God called you to teach a Sunday school class. Hallelujah. God called you to do it. God called you to preach. God called you to do it. God called you to lead songs. God called you to do it. God called you, amen, to raise children. God called you to do it. God called you, amen, to teach something. Amen, whether it's guitar or bass or piano, amen, or something like that. Hallelujah. God called you to do it. Amen. Lord, strengthen my hands. That's what Nehemiah said. And I tell you, I read it. You heard it. You heard it. It said, and the wall was finished. Praise God. Has God got a call on your life? Turn your back on sin. Hallelujah. Turn your back on the weak and beggarly elements of this world. Go all the way with God and watch and see what God does in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was helping me preach the other night at Bradshaw. Amen. Praise God, Bradshaw State Jail. God was helping me preach. I'm telling you, there was this big old guard. She decided that she was going to, you know, stand right up there real close. And, you know, I mean, most of the preachers go in there and preach. They just, you know, nominal preacher. And I ain't got no problem with that. Nothing. I'm not saying that for no any other reason. And simply, they probably don't get worked up like I do. Man, I'm telling you. By the love and grace of God, I felt the Holy Ghost while I was preaching. Man, I'm telling you, men was weeping and crying. Hallelujah. That old big old woman guard, I'm talking about, she's a big old gal. I was glad she was standing there. But man, I mean, I got to preaching and she got to squirming. She got to squirming. Boy, I'm telling you, she found the exit and got out of there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, man, I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say something. Oh, I'll tell you this right here. Right before she left, hallelujah, I said one of my old famous lines. I said, we're not talking about joining the church. Man, I'm talking about how we locked in right then. I mean, locked into her. God was reaching her soul. I pray God saves her, Lord. Deal with that woman and save her. Bring her to you, God. I said, I'm not talking about getting baptized. Man, I mean, we locked in a little bit more. I said, I'm talking about getting saved. I don't think she even knew what getting saved was. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was pouring it out to her. Amen. Now you can go and get baptized 10,000 times and go straight to hell. You join every church in Kilgore, East Texas, or America and go to hell. But if you get saved, my God, I'm talking about strengthening my hands. I said, I'm talking about getting saved.
getting born again. Maybe somebody here tonight, amen, God's reaching down in your heart, amen, and he's just click, 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 amen, he's stirring your heart, amen, God strengthened my hands, amen, the wall was finished. The devil don't want that wall finished in your heart and in your life. He wants to weaken your hands, amen, but if we could just pray one more time, God strengthened my hands, I believe the wall would be finished. I believe God would use you one more time. I believe God would bless us one more time. I believe God would anoint us one more time. God's not through with your life. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. He's got a plan for us. He wants to finish the wall in our life. He wants to fill us with the power of God. Amen. And make something wonderful and cast out every devil.
Oh, God. Strengthen my hands.
I'm through preaching.
Y'all ain't gonna believe this. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but just forget it as soon as I tell you.
But I actually have a clock up here. And I've already preached an hour. Some of y'all saying it feels like 2 hours, but the presence of the Holy Ghost is in this place. Put your hands out there, Jody.
Lord, strengthen my hands. Put your hands out there, Evan. Lord, strengthen my hands. Put your hands out there, bro. Put your hands out, Blake. Put your hands out, Tori. Put them out there, Lord. Strengthen my hands. Hallelujah. Put your hands out. Put your hands out, Tanya. Sister Jennifer. Sister Bobby, you got your hands out. Lord, strengthen my hands. Come on, Sister Dan. Strengthen my hands. Sister Kelly, put your hands out, Lord. Strengthen my hands, Brother Wayne. Lord, strengthen my hands. Here's a man who's almost finished with the wall. Oh, God. Oh, God. Strengthen these hands. Strengthen them. Strengthen these hands. Strengthen these hands. He held on to that book, Brother. Brother Richard, Brother Curtis, I'm done. He held on to that sword until his hand clave to it, welded to it. Strengthen my hands, God, to fight the devil. Strengthen my hands to say no to sin. Come on, somebody, tonight you've been fighting temptation. You've been fighting the devil. Strengthen my hands, Lord. Strengthen these hands. Amen, to do what you would have me to do. Strengthen my hands, Sister Monica. Lord, strengthen my hands. You don't know what kind of a singers you got right there. What kind of talent. Amen. Hallelujah. If God, can you see Brianna playing up there? That's just a few years down the road, Brother Chris. Hallelujah. It may be singing. Amen. Maybe who knows what. Amen. Pulled right out of the clutches of hell. Hold your hands out there, Texana. Lord, strengthen my hands, Sister Honey. Strengthen my hands, Lord. Strengthen these hands. God, strengthen these hands. Amen, Lord. Strengthen these hands. Amen. I'm done preaching. I'd like for the Lord to meet us in these altars. Praise God. 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 Strengthen my hands, Lord. I know you've called me. I know you've saved me. I know you've helped me. Oh, God. Hallelujah.